Hey, it's your girl, Christ-led Diva.
Hey, you guys, it's Yvonne.
And we are on episode number three of our Making It Last Forever
Yes, we
Christian
are.
Marriage and Relationship podcast. Yvonne,
I'm
how's your week
excited.
been?
It's been crazy busy. We've been doing some cleaning and stuff and, just trying to get ready for fall. Well, I'm a Christmas girl, so I'm trying to hold it back a little bit. I'm
Oh
trying to
boy.
hold the reins back because I'm getting excited.
Oh my.
And I just gotta wait, I guess, until I can get free. I'm holding it back, y'all. I'm trying.
Now, mind you, audience, it's still
Let
August. So let's just throw that out there, okay?
me tell
It's still
you.
August, and Christmas is in December, and
I am
she's in
the Christmas
Texas.
girl in my family. I love it. Christmas just gives so much joy. It just oozes joy. So that's why I love Christmas.
No, see, I
Not
love
the
Christmas
material things, you
too.
guys. Let's just make sure we're not talking about the gifts and spending money. I really, truly love the essence of Christmas.
In the meaning of Christmas. I love Christmas too. I
Yes,
just don't want to talk about it in August. Let's at least get to October,
You
okay?
guys, we are
And
going to
then
have a
we can talk
full-blown
about
Christmas episode. I don't know what episode number that's going to be, but we're going to have a full-blown Christmas episode, and I am so excited about that. So,
I thought, okay, no, that's right. I said we're gonna take a sabbatical, but then we're gonna drop a hot one in the midst of our sabbatical.
we're
Okay.
going to drop a
We're,
Christmas one.
yeah. Okay, so we're not gonna talk about that right now. So on episode number three, we did not come on here, you guys, to talk about Christmas. But we did come on here to, of course, give you guys thanks for just supporting episode number two and episode number one. But last week we dropped episode number two after some technical difficulties.
Yeah,
And
you
once
guys are
again,
figuring it out.
yes. But the response, though, Yvonne, even with the delay in dropping episode two, the responses that we have been receiving, and we're not just making this up, you guys, like the responses that we're receiving is so encouraging.
And I would like for our listeners to leave us some reviews. Let us know how we're doing, what you like, what do you want to hear. Leave us some reviews. We want to hear from you. It's good that we hear from you guys from our respective social media sites and things like that. But drop a review on Apple or Spotify or wherever you're listening to your podcast at, because we love to hear from you. We love to know what are some of the things that you want us to talk about that maybe you're going through during your seasons of life that we can bring to the table. So.
Actually, I'm glad that you brought that up because really quickly, I'm part of some women groups, and some women in these groups, Yvonne, they have been asking some really great questions in regard to marriage. So I'm hoping on one of our podcasts we can bring, a couple of the questions to the table that these ladies are asking because, I'm like this. If one person has that question or if one person's going through that situation, there's probably tons of other women that are going through that same situation. Thus is why we birthed this podcast. So
Amen.
yes,
Amen.
so I would love to bring us, some of those questions to one of our episodes. But tonight, let's get into tonight. What are we talking about
Tonight,
on this episode?
okay, you guys. So, just as Christ-led Diva said, there are so many women probably asking the same question. So tonight, it's a touchy subject, even when you're not married. But we are going to talk about money tonight, y'all. The name of this podcast is Managing Money in Marriage. And yes, comma, it is our money. Capital
Oh
O,
boy.
capital U, capital R, money. All right.
So, Yvonne, before we jump into this, I love that you just said, this is a great topic of discussion, even if you're not married. And do you want to explain why that is?
Well, because money in itself is so complicated. You're trying to budget, you're trying to save. Maybe you're trying to save for a family, thinking about your family, like when you're trying to take on a wife, or you want a new car, or things happen, you might lose your job, and then there's money issues there. It's so huge. But for a marriage, though, I was doing my research, and as I was looking, and of course I know, and I just wanted to get the facts, but of course, finances is the third leading cause for divorces. Yeah, the first was abuse, which, you know, I could understand.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, the first was abuse. And so the third was finances. Because of the communication isn't always there when it comes to finances. Some spouses hide money, some spouses are bad with money, and sometimes you're just not on the same page. So that's why there should always be open communication when you're discussing money in your marriage, especially if you're the financial advisor in your home. Me, I'm the financial advisor in my home. I prepare the bills every Friday. I text my husband, tell him what money to drop into the account, and he does
Okay.
So
That's what works, though.
that's what works for us. Of course, we discuss, you know, big purchases that you might have to, you know, discuss when you're talking about building your family budget. You know, vacations. I know, Chrysler Diva, you just had a nice
Oh my.
vacation by the water for 10
Ah,
days. I was
it
so
was
upset.
nice. I need
You
to go
know,
back.
but
But
when you
okay, go ahead.
plan, yes, but when you plan, you can be able to be gone for 10 days and don't have to worry about, you know, your home being affected by you being on vacation, you
That's
know,
so
for 10
true.
days. Yeah. Also discuss buying a new home. One thing me and my husband discussed when we were thinking about buying this new house we got last year, what is our budget? What are we not going to go over for our mortgage? You know, that's very important because you have to always leave yourself a cushion for things that happen. So what did y'all kind of do? Because I know you bought a house too last year. Were y'all on the same page?
Yeah, well, let me back up just a little bit. So when we first entered our relationship, obviously not being married, my now husband and I, we kept our finances separate, you know, and that's because, as I said in, you know, our episode number one, I had this independent woman, I don't need no man type of mentality. So I wanted it to be known and clear to him that I had my own money. And so we kept, you know, a lot of our finances separate, as I feel like you should, as if you're not married. But it was, what happened was interesting though, because when we were engaged and it was a couple months out before we were going to get married, I had lost my job. Like I had got laid off. And so the Lord had spoke to me like, yeah, you're going to have to humble yourself if you're going to be his wife. And you're going to have to, you know, learn how to rely on him as your husband and be open about, your finances and what you need and things like that. So it was a really humbling moment for me, right before we got married. And so when we got married though, and your girl rebounded, got another job. Your girl rebounded.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
I still kept, we still kept our finances separate. And we didn't really talk much, even though the Lord had spoken to me, about, some things that I needed to change as far as my habits go. We didn't really speak, really openly about, what our individual finances look like. It was more so, these were your bills, these are my bills, I pay my bills, you pay your bills, if you need help, you almost like roommates. You know what I mean? If you need help, let me know or whatever, things of that nature. It wasn't probably until we got into year number, shoot, if I'm honest, Yvonne, probably year number 4 or 5. It was right around the time, no. Yeah, about 4 or 5. It was right around the time we were getting ready to buy our first home that we really got to become fluent in communication in regard to money. When we, decided that, okay, you keep your, separate account, I'll keep my separate account, but let's maybe have a joint account. You know what I mean? That we'll use for our bills and things like that. It wasn't until about our fourth or fifth year in marriage that we really began to get on one page in regard to money. But yeah, and so that's how we operate now. It's like if he needs to, spend something or, whatever, there's dialogue about it. Same thing with me. There's that dialogue about it. Now he did put the Amazon alert on his phone.
Got one too.
So If I'm on Amazon in the middle of the night ordering stuff because I can't sleep, he'll know about it the next morning. But I'll be like, got all these packages coming. I wonder what our neighbors are thinking.
Yeah, he'll text me like, so I saw what you ordered today. I'm like, mind your business.
I know.
That isn't for you.
And you know, I told my husband, I said, what if I was ordering you something? Now you got all these alerts on your phone. So now the surprise is ruined. But yeah, no. I mean, we keep it very fluid as far as communicating about our finances go. And that's why I believe now, like before, if I could just add this, you know, when we were keeping our finances kind of separate, yes, we were communicating if there was a need, but not always. So there was a little bit of struggle on one side or the other, because we didn't want to be the one to come to the other and say, you know, help me. You know what I mean? I need this. Even though, like I said, the Lord spoke to me and said, you need to learn how to be submissive. You need to learn how to be a wife. You need to learn how to rely on your husband. I still had those walls up. But you know, now it's like we have more money, you know what I mean? More residue income, because now we know exactly, you know, what's in the account, who's spending what, things like that.
Yeah. That's good. We kind of follow the same regimen. But we've been doing it. So we tried at first the same bank account, and it was just a total, at that time, it was just a horrible idea. No one was keeping track of what money was going in, going out. We were spending and things like that. No one really was the money manager in the beginning. And this was even, you know, before we had got married. One of the houses we were renting, you know, we were sharing the expenses and we just put money all in and it didn't work. So then that's when we was like, all right, we're going to just separate, you know, I'll have my own account, you have yours. And then we kind of did it like you and your husband, Christ-led Diva. You know, I pay my bills, he pays his. Anybody needs help with anything, that's how it goes. And then we came to the conclusion that that's not working either. It was like, you know, that try and fail situation.
That's exactly what it is.
Yeah, so we do now, you know, what you guys do. Whereas we both have our separate personal accounts, and then we have a joint account that's just for like bills, anything with the house, anything with the kids. I mean, we literally, if you can, because we split everything down the middle, and then I pay my own car payment. He doesn't pay it. I pay my own car payment, but we split everything down the middle, and whatever personal bills that are his, he pays, you know, too. But with me being a financial advisor, I have a spreadsheet. I am just like so analytical. I have a spreadsheet that I created that has a mine and his. I have like the our paycheck days color coded, what bills are for what colors and things like that. It's a whole thing. It takes me like 3 hours to do
that.
It
sounds like more work on top of work on top of work on top of work that you already do. So
but it works because I get paid every 2 weeks, but then he gets paid every week. So I have to make sure I break the bills up that's according to his paycheck every week, and then mine are broken up for mine every 2 weeks. I would split everything down the middle, have the total of all the bills. I split them all down the middle. He dumps it in there. We have a budget for groceries. Each of us split it. We even split the budget for the groceries. Now, like I said, if your salaries can do this, of course, everybody can't split everything down the middle. So my thing for that is look at your, you know, your resources. Look at how much your mortgage is. You know, you might be in a situation to where is, okay, I can't go half on everything, but my husband can pay the mortgage and I'll pay the bills or something like that, just so it's fair. Because especially in these times, costs of everything is rising. Things are getting expensive. And when you work as a team, both of you should be carrying the burden in some way. And it works for us right now, the way that we're doing it, it works for us. Because just like if I wanted to go shopping for, excuse me, Christmas, if I wanted, when I go shopping for him, He doesn't need to see me swiping in the other account everything that I'm buying, especially if it's for him. Because next thing he's like, "You were at Macy's today. What were you doing at Macy's?" Then the surprise is blown here. Have your gift. I don't even wrap it. So it helps to where it is, you have your money in your own separate account after all the bills and stuff is done. Even when you're doing renovations on the house, that should be taken away from, your excess funds that you do have, and everything should be in one big pot. Bills get pulled from there, and there's no confusion.
I 100% agree. And actually, I have a renovation, I guess you could call it, bill that I have to satisfy. I have some trees that I have to get cut down and removed. So I get what you're saying as far as having that general pot to take care of stuff like that. Because we talked about that on the first podcast, you never know what's going to come up. So it's always important to have, that general pot with that cushion of finances in it. To take care of those unexpected expenses.
Yeah, no,
So
absolutely.
when it comes to acknowledging what is being spent in your accounts, like your personal accounts, do you and your husband talk about that at all? Like, or you guys just spend out of your personal accounts without communicating what's
Well,
being spent?
no. So if it's in our own individual accounts, we really don't discuss what's in there. He knows how much, well, I know how much he makes because I am the one who collects all the tax information, the tax time. I told you I'm the financial advisor, so I handle all finances. So it's not like he's hiding money. It's just like that's his reserve. That's what he has. And we both have our separate savings that we have too, on top of what's the surplus is in the joint account. Because even though the bills and stuff come out of that joint account, it never goes zero. There's still a surplus in there. So just in case anything happens, emergency funds or anything, they're in there. And then we have our individual savings because we have our own individual goals we might be trying to do. He might be saving up to get car rims or something. I might be saving up for more books.
For more Bibles. Having 23 or 24 Bibles isn't enough. Got to get at least one more. And she says that every week. Just one more. Just one more. Every Bible study. I got a new Bible, ladies. I'm like, oh
Oh,
no.
the last one was like color coded. It was amazing. But yeah, so I mean, we still communicate about money. It's just that when it's the surplus of whatever we dump in, that's kind of like money we get to play with when we put our stuff away. And I even put my tithes and offerings in that bucket because money, and we do tithe and offer, so I put that in that
I'm glad you
joint
mentioned
bucket
that.
too.
Yep, I'm glad you mentioned that. So you put your tithes and offering in your joint bucket. You guys don't do that out of
Everything.
your separate. Okay,
Nope.
got you.
Everything gets dumped in there. It's on the spreadsheet. Everything that we disperse out of the house is on the spreadsheet. Everything from ADT to tithes and offering, from whatever. We help our mother out financially. She's on the spreadsheet. She's on everything that comes out of the house is on the spreadsheet. And that works for us. And I get to pinpoint where that money is. And then he can also go and he has access to it. The spreadsheet is saved on the computer. He goes into the computer, pulls up the spreadsheet. He has access to that. But he trusts me with the money. See, there has to be trust there too. If he's sending me money every time he gets paid, and he's trusting that the bills get paid,
Oh,
then
he'll
I'm
know if all of a sudden the lights start going off and the water stops coming out of the faucet. He gonna know something didn't get paid.
So you have to have trust. If your spouse is trusting you with the money, do what he's trusting, he or she is trusting you to do with the money. Because if you don't, if you break trust there, especially finances, you're going to have what we call take unnecessary strain on your
Yep.
marriage. You know what I
Unnecessary
mean?
stress and strain. Very
Yeah,
true.
unnecessary. But we're going to flow into you Scrooge McDucks who don't like to share your money or want to put all your stuff in the little rabbit hole in the backyard and not want to share and just mind, and you think you're going to take it with you, and the Lord says
And we are talking right now, and correct me if I'm wrong, Yvonne, to married couple,
Married,
so
these are
when
married
wives,
couples. Yeah,
yes,
these are whatever
once.
you single people do. I mean, I'm you can get some bits of advice and things like that, but I'm talking to my married women here because when you are married, we said before, you are a team. You're doing life. You are in a
That's right.
covenant with God. This is for us to make sure our families are going the way that they're supposed to go, in decency and in order. You do not want chaos in your family.
And I just wanted to emphasize that we are talking to married couples. We're talking to wives on this podcast. Now, singles, as Yvonne said, you can get some nuggets out of this, but until you're sure that the party that you are with, if you're in a relationship, is that person that you're planning on spending the rest of your life with, we do not recommend you combining your finances until you are sure. Would you agree with me on that?
Oh,
Because you don't want
100%.
things to go south in that relationship. And not saying that this can't happen in marriages either, but there's a law that kind of backs people in marriage if someone just tries to go and, just take everything. You know what I mean? But when you're single, you may not have that same protection if that other party decides to just, call it quits and clean out your bank account. So just wanted to emphasize that at this moment, we're talking to the married couples.
Because I'm looking for my husband if he clears out my bank account. I'm just saying, but he's not going to do that.
No, and like I said, there may be protections around that. You know what I mean? For married couples, because you may be able to sue him for alimony or whatever. You know what I mean? Just there's other ways that you may be able to get that money back. But if you're single, they clean you out, might just be gone.
Might just be gone. So, I jump into if you are in your marriage and you are the one, my wives who are being I don't know if everybody's seen the cartoon DuckTales, and there was Scrooge McDuck where he counted every he had it a stash of money put away, and he would just swim through it. He wouldn't want to share it. He just wanted to hold on to it. So to go into this verse, I found the scripture where and I want to make sure we're clear on this because I hear this all the time. Money is the root of all evil. Absolutely not. That is not what the word says. The Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. 1 Timothy 6:10 in the CSB Bible, the scripture says, "For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, and by craving it, some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs." And he said, "There is a difference between what we need and what we want."
That's so good.
Because if you fall in love with money, and the scripture is right, what wouldn't you do for money? Who wouldn't you want to share it with if you love your money?
And can I throw in something here? Because I want to speak to the wives that are making more money than their husband. This is very, very important, what Yvonne just shared with us, because it's easy for wives that make more money than their husband to get into that mindset of it's my money. You know, I think about that movie, The Family That Prays, A Family That Prays, the Tyler Perry movie, where in the beginning, the wives, it was a Sanaa Lathan. Shout out to Sanaa Lathan.
We
But
love you.
yes, we do. But she, starting at the beginning of the movie. You guys may have seen the movie, but for those who haven't, they got married. They had very humble beginnings. She had just finished her law degree or what have you, and she got a job at a very prominent law firm. Who, the I guess law firm or whatever was owned by her mother's best friend's best friend and son or whatever. Long story short, she began to have an affair with the son, and he was pretty much cashing her out in addition to, what she was already making in her salary. And her husband was trying to start a construction company. And he found, like Yvonne just said, that little stash that she had that he didn't know about when he went to the bank. He thought, they had this joint account and they were being honest and transparent with their funds. Found out she had a separate account with over a hundred thousands of dollars in it. And so he took the money and, opened up his d to open up his construction company, and she flipped. Am I lying, Eva? She flipped out.
No.
And the thing that she said in that movie that I was just like, wow, she said, "That is my money." And he was like, "Wait a minute, we're married." You know what I mean? And that's different from what Yvonne described, where she said that her and her husband have, their joint account where all their bills and all their, household expenses come from, and yet they have their own individual accounts, just like me and my husband. That's different because I don't have no Swiss bank account offshores with $100,000. Now, I don't know if you do, Yvonne,
Oh
but
no.
I can attest to that. You
And it's
know, so
still
that
our money, it's
and
still whatever he needs, I'm still going to give. You know what I mean? It's still our money.
exactly. It's still our money. But I wanted to bring that up because that's a perfect example of what you just described, that Scrooge McDuck attitude and
Yes.
mentality. And we see it a lot with women that make a lot of, make a lot more money than their husbands. So,
And they're
Yvonne,
swimming in their coins and their husbands are struggling.
that's
Oh,
awful.
that's
That's
very
awful.
awful because you are not being the provider for your family. And they had children, and I know this is a movie or whatever, but they had children,
But that type of stuff happens all the time,
all
though.
the time, all the time. And you're supposed to be able to keep your house afloat. If one is down, lift the other up. You don't put your money away. Now, understand if you have your individual savings, but there should be open communication when it comes to money. And just like, me and my husband has been talking about, what if one something happens to one of us or whatever, and how we're going to, put all together our bank statements and savings statements into an envelope just in case something happens to one of us. We have access to everything. Nothing's hidden. He doesn't have to worry about going to look for it. He doesn't have to worry about surprises if and when I pass before him and he's finding out I have all these thousands of dollars hidden. No, he's going to have access to them statements right away. There's nothing that my husband does not have, and there's nothing that my husband doesn't have of mine and I of his. So we have to make sure we have open communication there. And that's the only way that's going to work. Even because no one likes to sit down and discuss money. It drives my husband crazy. He doesn't like it, but he knows we need to do it. So.
And one other thing I think about with this scripture. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. So I
Yep,
think
the love of
about
money.
women that, again, just referring back to that movie, they begin to make a certain amount of money and they start to prowl. I'll just use that word, Yvonne. They begin to prowl. They begin to look, for and at other men that are at that income level where they're at, thinking that now their husbands are beneath them. Even before that money
That's
hits
good.
your account, ladies, always remember when you go to work day in and day out, that is your meaning, you and your husband, your family, that is your money, not you, your money individually, but your money collectively. Do not, ladies, get to a certain income bracket, and because maybe your husband isn't where you've elevated, you begin to think that now it's your money because he's no longer on your income level. I seen something. It was a few weeks ago. It's some celebrity. So I don't know who said it. I don't get into all that celebrity stuff, Yvonne. You may get into that stuff, but and you may know who I'm talking about. But I had seen something a few weeks ago, maybe even a month ago, where I believe she was a celebrity star, and she said that now she will only date a man if he's making 1 million a year. That's the
Oh, I yeah, I don't know who
that's
I
the
said
floor.
did
That's
that.
the threshing floor. 1 million a year. So now, 70, 80, 90,000, $100,000, that's not even good enough basically for her anymore. The threshing floor is 1 million. And so I was thinking, like, wow,
Do you know how
that's
many
pretty
good men you're
egregious.
probably cutting off because of your income guidelines?
Yeah.
You
And her
know?
justification was, well, I'm making, 2 points up million. So he's got to be at least making 1 million. I understand wanting someone that's maybe on the same or similar, I should say, social status as you, meaning that, you don't, with all due respect, you don't see people making $2.1 million dating somebody working at McDonald's. You just don't see that. You know what I mean? So I get that, but at the same time, I'm talking about, situations where maybe, and it could be both sides of the spectrum, even the husband, if he begins to elevating his career and maybe his wife is content where she's at. You know what I mean? We should never get to that point in our relationships because we've elevated financially that it's now my individual money. It's always our money. It's always your, meaning your family collectively. It is your money. Never forget
No.
that, ladies.
Yeah, and also too, Hebrews 13:5 in the CSB, the Bible says, keep your life free from the love of money. Be satisfied with that you
There it
have.
is.
For he himself has said, I will never leave you or abandon you. Express thanks to God for what he has provided and remember that every treasure and possession will pass away. Meaning, you can collect everything that you want on earth. You can have your $2.5 million, but baby, when you go, that money is staying here. Who you have to answer to? You have, now you have to answer to the Father for the choices that you have now made down here on earth with the stinginess of your money.
And you might have lost your husband, just like that movie. Just like the end of that movie, The Family That Prays. She lost everything. She lost the guy that she was cheating with. She lost her job because he lost the company. She lost everything. And at the end of the movie, she was the one that had her hand out trying to get something from her ex-husband because his construction company took off and she, gave up on him. And now she was the one receiving the handout. So, ladies, stay humble because and
That's
be
basically
content
what
with
that
what you,
scripture is. Stay
yeah,
humble.
and be content with what you have. If you loved your husband through the guttermost of the uttermost, continue to love your husband at 40, 50, 60, 70, 80,000, $100,000 a year. I'm just
And
gonna say
that's
that.
what I love my husband because just like yours, we started from the bottom together
Yes.
and we worked our way
I mean,
up together.
remember
I
that song when me and X was like, I was at the bus stop with you, honey.
was at the bus stop. I rode that 19 bus, okay? I had to run
Yes.
through city center to catch the other bus. Yes, I rode the bus with my husband, absolutely. Because if you know that your husband, if you know the person you're with, it is a hustler and a grinder. We ain't talking about selling the drugs and all that stuff,
No, we ain't
lady.
talking about
But you,
that.
we ain't talking about that. But you know he's gonna do what he has to do to make sure you and him is good. Like, come on. You got to
Girl,
stick with
amen.
him through the hard stuff. A lot of you, these women and you wives, you got your hands stuck out. What we go, I ain't gonna go there, but you guys have to remain humble and realize to be able to get to a certain status, you have to go through the mud.
Yes.
Nothing worth having is going to be handed to you. You know, even when the Lord gives you something, he's giving it to you for a purpose. He's not just giving it to you just to give it to you so you can live these extravagant lives. It's a purpose. It is for a purpose. And he said it, remember that every treasure and possession will pass away. He's telling you, remain humble. These things will, you will not have these things forever. So,
Amen. Amen. That's good. That's a good word.
I just had to break it down because especially in this culture, we see it, like you said, if it's not about money, but what are you willing to go through? That don't mean you have to go through the hard times all the time, but what are you willing to go through to make sure you guys have success? What are you willing to go without to be able to get the house? What are you willing to, go without before you're able to get the car? Like, come, what are you willing to go without?
You finna have me shouting like I'm at the church house, girl.
Like,
No,
come
but what
on.
you're saying is real talk, though. And I'm glad that you're saying it because when you are married, a lot of people, I'm just gonna say it like this, a lot of us women, we want the horse, the carriage, the house, everything right away as soon as we get married. That's not the way it works. Yvonne, we talk about it all the time. Sometimes people look at our marriages and our lives and they see, yes, we live nice, praise God. All glory goes to God.
All glory.
We ride in nice, you know what I'm saying? We look nice, things of that nature. We have great husbands. And they think it was easy. It came easy. And it's like you just said, no, we got this out the mud. You know, I remember when my husband and I, neither one of us had a vehicle. I was waiting tables and he was walking miles to work, to go work at a freezer like type of factory or whatever, freezer warehouse type of thing. You know, coming home at 3 in the morning, walking through dark parks and, you know, just crazy stuff. You know what I'm saying? But he, like you said, he was a hustler. He did what he had to do. And so when people see us now, you know, him driving Suburbans and all this other stuff, it's like, no, he, I hate to say it, but he paid his dues. You know what I mean? This is something we built
Woo, girl,
together.
that is the
It's not,
word you just said.
yeah, it's not something that just happened overnight. And so a lot of that came, you know, going from, you know, riding the bus and living in that one bedroom apartment to now, you know, having, you know, 5 bedroom, you know, 3 cars, whatever you may have. You know, a lot of that came from that open communication about finances. And as each began to elevate individually in regards to, you know, their income, continuing that frequent communication and that open communication about finances, not one person becoming stingy and thinking that, you know, because they're making more money than the other, that, you know, they're doing, you know, they can, like you just said, Yvonne, have that Scrooge Duck mentality.
I
Like,
call it
this
Scrooge
is my
McDuck.
money. As long as the mortgage is paid and stuff like that, so what? You ain't got no extra. You can get a better job. You know, no, that's not what we do. That's not how we live. It's our
No.
money, regardless of, you know, who's making what.
Yeah. Oh, you said a whole word. First of all, I want to touch on when you said pay your husband paid his dues. There is husbands, wives out here that do not want to pay their dues, and they think it's all supposed to be handed to them. Absolutely not. I even myself, when I had my son and my daughter in the freezing cold of Minnesota, where my husband's a truck driver and had to leave the house at like sometimes at 4 a.m., I had to get on the bus with a stroller and at that time, a 4-year-old to go to work on the bus stop in the
And it's
cold.
cold in Minnesota. Y'all, who are all y'all that don't live in Minnesota? It's
Listen,
cold here. It's like living in the Arctic.
yes.
It can
And I
get
had
cold
to.
here.
It could get cold. And I had to walk from the apartment to the corner for the bus stop and ride the bus. See, people don't understand. Just because we'd never put it out there, you know, of what we had to go through our weak points, you know, but those made us stronger. Like when we were first starting out, and there was like, you know, food was scarce because of our humble beginnings, Tay. I knew how to whip
Girl.
up some stuff. Like I can have you a nice Sunday dinner with just a what, some potatoes and some ramen
Girl.
noodles and some eggs. Come on now. Like I am
Girl.
able to put things together because of my humble beginnings. I will
That's
never
right.
forget where I come from because you never know when you're going to be able to have to go back and use those resources again. So
Amen. I
don't
got
get
that
too,
box of
yes.
hamburger helper in my cabinet right there. I've had that box for, I probably need to throw it out actually, because I've had it for some years, but I keep it in there just in case. Because, like you said, you never know when
Never
you're going to
know.
need it. And that is what's real. That is so real. I do want to say this for the younger couples, or maybe not even younger couples. Maybe you guys have been married for a while, but you're still in a situation where you may be both catching the bus, or you may only have one car, or you're kind of living in an apartment right now, and you know you've outgrown it, and you're believing God for that house. Just continue to work together as a married couple. Continue to have faith, continue to work together, continue to be transparent, and God is going to bless you. Your time is going to come where He will begin to open things up for you.
Amen.
Just continue to just stay encouraged, because I know there's probably some young couples right now that are listening, like, I'm going through that right now. Or, you know, that have been married for a while, like, wait, that's what we still do. At least y'all talking about y'all got cars and big houses and stuff like that. I'm still doing this. So what's that mean? Do I need to lose my chicken dinner and get what a winner? No, that's not what we're trying to say. That just means that you guys just got to keep at it. Just keep trucking, keep
And
being
where are your
transparent about your money.
priorities?
And yep, and make sure, like Yvonne said, she dropped some good nuggets at the top of the hour. Make sure that you're being transparent about what your expenses are. That's the last thing you want, is somebody to have a secret credit card bill that's like
Let me
$20,000
tell
and
you.
you have dreams on buying a house. You know, no, that secret credit card bill has to be disclosed, because that's going to have to be paid off or paid down or something before you can get your dream home. So make sure
Amen.
you're open and honest, not just about the the actual the funds, you know, the res was it the residual funds, the disposable funds? Not just don't just be honest about that, but be honest about credit. Be honest about debt. Be
Be
honest
honest
about things
about
like,
debt.
yes, be honest about those things because that's going to stop your cash flow if you're not honest about those things.
Because the last thing you want is you're sitting with a lender trying to buy a house, and the underwriter comes back and is like, "Can you please explain this $15,000 in credit card debt that's been outstanding for 5, 6 years?" And then you're looking over at your spouse and he looking stupid like crickets because no one wanted to discuss the money or whatever. You don't want to wait for that to happen. You don't want to wait for that to happen.
Yeah, don't just talk about the cash, talk about the stuff that requires cash to pay off. Talk
Yes,
about that
because
stuff.
credit is essential. Credit is essential. So yeah, credit is essential. But so we've talked about the two-person income. You know, we kind of broke that down. So I wanted to talk on the ways to handle money for a stay-at-home spouse. And I know, you know,
Oh, I like that.
there's some husbands that are staying home now for whatever reasons. If they're entrepreneurs, they might have more time at home, things like that. Or maybe she was making more money, so he was the one that was able to stay home, whatever the reason is. But I asked my husband about, you know, the topic and how he would handle it, because at one time I was a stay-at-home mom for my son's first year, 23 years ago. 23 years ago. Oh, Jesus. 23 years ago, I stayed home.
Somebody's disclosing age. Well, she disclosed her age last week. That's
I
right.
am.
Forty,
I'm 41 and
41,
proud, honey.
41.
Yes. So I stayed home for the first year of my son being born. But back then, 23 years ago, you were able to do that because our one-bedroom apartment was only $575. You cannot
Oh,
find a
Jesus.
one-bedroom apartment in the suburbs for
No, that was a
$575
nice one,
anymore.
too. I wouldn't even want a bed if I want a two bed. Was it two bed? It was only one
It was
bedroom.
one bedroom. When Sabrina was born, we went to the two bedroom.
Yeah, I
But
wouldn't even want a one bedroom for 575 nowadays because you're gonna have roaches and rats meeting you at the front door. You might have the bum that's been staying there for a while because it's been vacant because nobody wants to live there. Girl,
yes, so we were able to
23 years
balance
ago.
that 23 years. Yes, that's a long time. 23 years ago. So he was kind of able to handle that. He's been a truck driver our whole relationship. So he was able to handle that. However, now, so I had to ask him, I said, how would you handle it if I was a stay-at-home mom now? Like, break that thing down for me. And so before we get into it, I want to, if we wives, if your husband has a controlling spirit, I just want to read the scriptures and maybe you can pray on it. You know, I always take whatever issues I have to either my prayer partner, because you know my sister would be praying for me. I go to
Absolutely.
her, and I take it to God, because only God can change the heart of your husband. So I went to Colossians chapter 3, verse 18. And it says, wives, submit yourselves to your husband as it is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and don't be bitter toward them. Paul had words, and this was, I got this from the Study Bible. And it said, Paul had words for the wives, but he had words for the husbands as well. Just as Christ served the disciples, even to the point of washing their feet, a husband should serve his wife. This means putting aside his own interests in order to care for her. A wise and Christ-honoring husband will not abuse his leadership role.
I love that so much.
He will always, a Christ-honoring husband will not abuse his leadership role. That means, wives, if you're the one who's staying home taking care of the children, your husband is going to make sure that you're going to go, not going to go without. He's going to make sure you're taken care of. He's going to make sure you have everything you need. So I asked my husband about this, and he said what he would do. He said he would still keep, even though I wouldn't be working, he would still keep the three account regimen that we have now. He said He would have an account, three accounts that would be all tied together, which would be the account for the house, my account, and then his own personal account. And I said, well, how would you allocate the money to her? And he was like, well, I don't want to call an allowance because I don't want you yelling at me. I don't want to call the allowance because I don't want you yelling at me. But he was like, I would, he was like, he can't even put a value on it because he said, what you would bring brings value to the home. I can't even bring a value to it. But he was like, every week when I get paid, he said, if we're talking like now, all the money would go for the house, groceries, everything would go into the joint account for the house. He said, and then for your separate account, I would send you money every pay period that I would have. That is your money. He said, that would be whatever you want to do, shopping. He said, that is not grocery store money. That is not going to Target, getting clean stuff. Everything for house would be in the house budget. Everything for you, he said, I would send to you every month. I mean, every month, every week, I would put it in an account. He said, what you do with it, what you manage it. He said, you don't have to spend it. You can let it roll over or save it. He said, that would be your money. He was like, because I can't put a value on what you do. And I was
Yeah, I love that so much because Yvonne, it makes me think about what we talked about the first episode, and that, a wife is a reflection of how
sweet.
well she's being cared for by her husband. Just
Yeah.
because you may be a stay-at-home mom does not mean that your value as a wife has
Yes.
diminished.
Amen.
And I love, kudos to Satara. Tell him, you know what? He's all right with me. He's
I had to
all
ask
right with
him
me.
because I can only get a man's perspective. I could write what I wanted to say, right? Because I am a woman. I want this. This is the way I think it should be. But I sat down with him when I was, we were working on the podcast, and I asked him, and that's what he said. He's like, you are the one who's bringing value. You're the one who's making the kids are safe at home. You're the one that making sure they're at school. They're the one you're. So I can't put a. I can't. He said I have to find another word for it. So what word would you? Because he said kept saying I don't want to say allowance. That's what he said. Because he was like you don't want to sound like
Here's
a
your
child.
allowance, wife.
I don't. Because
No.
he was like it has to be another word for it. Because he was like I don't want to get my head chewed off. But he was like that's. He was like and if you save it, if you spend it, it's your money. It's your money to manage. So whatever I give you,
Oh, I
he
love that
said,
so much because a
yeah.
woman, there's nothing like feeling beautiful. And of course, we should be obviously comfortable with our natural selves. We should love ourselves for who we are. Absolutely. But a woman likes to get her hair done. A woman likes to get her
Yes.
nails done. A woman likes
Yeah.
to get that new outfit. You know what I
Yeah.
mean? So it, just because she's a stay-at-home mom and she doesn't quote unquote work in, corporate America or what have you, a 9 to 5, doesn't mean that she doesn't work. And actually, I agree with Sitaris. You can't put a value on the things that a stay-at-home mom does because the investment that she's making into her home and into her children, if there's nothing else like it. I can't, I don't have the stats in front of me, Yvonne, but there was something that I did read that said children that come from households with a stay-at-home parent, and it's a mom, it said what a stay-at-home parent usually fare weller than students in life as adults
I read
than
that somewhere
those
too.
that have two working parent homes. And I thought that was very fascinating. But I understand people have to work because I just seen today new stats just came out to raise a child from birth to age 18 will cost you $310,000 just
That's
for one
crazy.
child. We're not even talking about pushing them through college. There ain't no college. $310,000
Failed
from
your college
birth to
education
eight.
right there.
That's it right there. That's the cutoff, okay? But no, I say that to say obviously there's values on both sides. So shout out to those that work, you know what I mean, also take care of their homes. But for those that, commit themselves full time to their families, I commend you so much because what you do has, I mean, you can't put a value on that. It's so
No,
great. It's so great.
it is. And so, you wives, you stay-at-home wives, I commend you for what you're doing, because I can speak for myself and for my sister too. Like, there's some times where Mom guilt gets real, where you want to be at everything and you try to be everything. And Lord knows I tried. I would get off re early, race, in traffic, try to get there. But, that mom guilt sets in. What am I missing? When you got to take them to daycare and they're spending more time with your child than you get, and then you're at home for maybe 2 hours for dinner, story, and bedtime, and then they're done, and then you got to do it all over again the next day. That mom guilt is real. I know for me, yeah, that
Yeah,
mom guilt's real.
I experienced that when I decided to go back to school as a non-traditional student. I couldn't wait to be finished because I felt like I was missing out on so much of my kids' growth, seeing them grow. And I'm grateful that my husband was able to stand in the gap. But when it came to work, though, I have to, ladies, when I say put your faith in God and say, Lord, bring me an opportunity, Lord, where I don't have to compromise my time with my children. And he will answer that prayer. I am a witness to that. He Anytime you put your children, you put your family first, God will honor that. I know a lot
Amen.
of people, say, well, on Sundays, I can't go to church because I work, or I can't, be at my kids', football game because I work. And I get that. But just try it. Just say, you know what, Lord, I want to put my kids first. I want to put you first. And just send me the opportunity to be able to do that and watch. He'll do it. And I'm a witness to that. He will do it because
Amen.
even though I work full time, I have I'm grateful for a schedule where I can be flexible. Like, I gotta be here, 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 here for my kids. And my boss is like, whatever you need to do. Now that makes me crazy though, trying to be that super mom and trying to, for real, sissy, like it makes you crazy. But it's I feel grateful nonetheless that I have that opportunity to be, to have that flexible schedule like that, because I know a lot of women don't have that. So I say, test God, try him. Submit your request before him. If you really desire to be at your children functions and things like that, you feel like you're missing out on your children's lives because you're having to work, just put your petition before God and see what happens.
Oh, girl, and you just sat up there and said, wait to the scripture that I got. Matthew 6:27 in the CSB Bible. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be provided for you. Take
That's
everything
good.
to the throne, ladies. I was up last night just praying. We had rain here, and I was concerned about flooding because with Texas, the grounds, we've been in the drought. Last night I took the rain to the throne, like, Lord, just cover my
Amen.
husband as he's driving in that rain, cover my son if he has to go to work and driving in these highways to this rain. Lord, cover the house, Lord, cover the people on this block, Lord. I was taking everything to the throne last night. So yes, take everything to the throne of God, but leaving no prayer is too little for him to hear. Don't think that it doesn't make sense. Don't think that you're being ungrateful. Take everything to the throne of God. That's what he's there for. And tap into
Amen.
the power of the Holy Spirit to be able to hear him, because you think he hasn't answered your prayer, but he did. It's just not what it looks like to you. So you have to be in tune to what the Holy Spirit is showing you of how God is answering your prayers. So I can go on. When we start talking about God, we can be talking about for like 15 more minutes.
We've been and had church up in here. We done forgot about everything we talked about on this podcast as far as money goes. And we finna have some church. But no, going back to the topic at hand, we were talking about finances and communication, Yvonne. What are your final thoughts on that as we get ready to wrap up?
Just summarize, ladies. Like I said, first and foremost, having open communication about finances is pivotal to having a healthy marriage.
I agree. Yes.
If finances is the third leading cause of divorce, that means couples are not talking about money, or even understanding finances. I know if you belong to a body of a church, there is some churches that has finance classes that you can take, small groups. My church is starting up again, small groups in September. One of the classes is a finance group. Look into that situation. I listen to Dave Ramsey's podcast, even though sometimes I think he goes a little extreme with his budgeting. you can get some info there. I follow another podcast called Broke on Purpose, and she gives out good tidbits. You can follow to get your information there. There's so much information out here now that there should be no reason why we are uneducated about finances. The power is in our hands.
I love that. And Yvonne, one thing I thought about when I took, my premarital class before we got married is, I would have liked to seen, more conversation during those classes about money. A lot of the conversations that we had in our premarital class was about, getting along with, each other's family, which is going to be an episode in itself, right? We're going to talk about that too. When you marry someone, you're not just marrying them, you're marrying the family. So we had a lot of conversation about that. We had a lot of conversation about, letting go of, past hurt in relationships and things like that. But for our premarital class, I can say we didn't talk a lot about, transparency in finances, transparency in debt. So I'd like to see more ministries and churches, offer that before, saying I do. Let's talk about it. Let's talk about money. Let's talk about, that piece right there. To your point, Yvonne, since, money, finances is the third leading cause of divorce in this country.
The third leading cause, that means couples are not talking. They're not talking, or they're not liking what they're seeing, and they're checking out because it's become too much. Either a partner probably took on too much debt and you didn't say anything. Now they got to file bankruptcy. Now you put me in a situation like there's so many different scenarios that could possibly be avoided just by having a simple communication about marriage. I mean, not about marriage, but finances in marriage.
Yeah. And I mean, let's be honest, being broke by is stressful enough by itself. You know what I mean?
Oh
When you're
my
broke, that's so
gosh,
stressful.
it
And so,
is.
yeah, I mean, it may make you feel a little better to be broke with somebody else that y'all broke, to begin with versus, get with somebody and then later learning that y'all broke. It's different. It's a different happiness.
I've been enduring my whole life. She's crazy. She's crazy. She has a different type of happiness.
Yeah, if I
Okay.
well, if I know you broke and I'm broke and we decide to get together, there's no surprise that we eat hamburger helper every night. But if I get together with you under the impression that you have, money and I have bad credit and neither one of us got nothing going on, then we just miserable. Ain't nobody happy.
Please remember all that is given to us is from the Lord anyway.
Amen. Yes.
Nothing belongs to us. Everything that is good from above comes from the Lord. So let's not take advantage of the blessings that He has given us and to be able to pour those blessings out on our families. So,
Amen.
yes. So I'd like to thank you guys for joining us. I'm
Yeah,
going to
this one
pray
was
out.
good. I love this. This was great.
I'm just going to pray out. Thank you guys for spending time with us. Heavenly Father, we thank you for another wonderful episode. We're trying to help couples in marriage to figure out some of the hard things to avoid some of the things that we have went through. We're only
Yes,
trying
Lord.
to pour out some of our nuggets. I hope they grasp them. And then once they take them, turn it into what works for them. We're not asking them to follow the path we took. We're just asking them to learn from our mistakes and then take what we have learned and then turn it into what it looks like for their families.
That
So,
yes,
Lord, we
yes.
ask you to cover the wives or husbands too who might tune into us. May give them the wisdom to apply the knowledge that they've learned today. And so, in all things, we always give thanks to the Lord above. In your Son, Jesus Christ's name, we pray. Amen.
Amen. I truly enjoyed this episode with you, Yvonne. I can't wait to episode number four. Make sure our audience to subscribe to Making It Last Forever, Christian Marriage and Relationship. Search us on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, Spotify, iHeartRadio. Soon we'll be on Pandora as soon as Pandora stops tripping. All the major platforms, make sure you guys subscribe. Make sure you follow us on Facebook, Making It Last Forever, Christian Marriage and Relationship. Girl Chat or Chat. I can't remember which one it's under, but make sure you search for us on social media, Facebook in particular. And yeah, we just look forward to talking to you guys again next week. I hope you enjoyed this episode.
All right. I hope you guys enjoy. You guys have a wonderful day. Blessings. See you next week.
See you next week.
Bye.